Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run down the field and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom, 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Welcome into episode 112 of 11 Personnel. Special twofer this week as we get ready for the start of college football season. I am Nick Roush with Adam Luckett, and we are presented today by our good friends at La Rosa's, the fantastic pizzeria that you've come to learn and love from the Cincinnati area. It's now in Central Kentucky. They have three locations, and there's no better way to enjoy week zero of college football than by cozying up to a fantastic pizza from La Rosa's. Chow down, sit back, relax, because college football is here. And the thing is, like, they got a lot more than just pizza. That square pizza, so good. They've also got 40 menu items: wings, hoagies, fries, desserts. They've got everything. Take
breadsticks.
Oh man,
I can't do pizza without breadsticks. Like, you go to a pizza place, you got to have breadsticks.
I like that.
It's like peanut butter and jelly.
I like that cheesy bread too. You know, that's like, I mean, it's just the absolute best. You can get it at La Rosa's. Take your game day to the next level. Visit larosa's.com to order pickup delivery, or head on over to their dining room and enjoy a nice sit down evening with some La Rosa's family pizzeria. Luckett, before we get into some items of the day, we've got a week zero slate to go through. It's an actual slate. It's not just one game. There's a couple on the table. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got the spreads pulled up right now.
Oh man, I love it. I love it so much. I was looking at SP plus projections. I mean, I'm foaming at the mouth over here. But we also have to finally name our G5 team of the year, which we might need to come up with a good catchy, like,
slogan.
Yeah, like, not 11 personnel's G5 team of the year, like, I don't know. Our G5 dog. I don't know how we phrase that, but we will finally reach that conclusion. The long wait is almost over. But first, let's talk a little bit about what happened this week in practice. Liam Cohen absent. He's busy having a baby.
Yeah, it sounds like he's been out all week.
I believe. Which I think that's would worry some, but like, I'm pretty sure that they knew that this was coming. They scheduled accordingly. And we got the big dog. It's kind of nice having him just go up there and talk about everybody. And he did have some great quotes too. My favorite one was when asked about Cedric Dort, you know, losing his starting job. He said, "This ain't no charity."
I love about like every other player that was mentioned. He's not talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke, no. Rig,
which Smoke is on and on about, and on. Smoke has talked about a ton, but they asked, you know, if he'd been out there because he missed, you know, some practices early on, maybe a week.
He's missed
so.
Games in his career.
Yeah,
both seasons he's played, he's had to deal with the injury bug. So,
Vince said, I think he can smell that game week coming around because you can't make the club in the tub, and there's a lot of talent in running backs in there. And I know we mentioned a lot when he made the move, but, you know, Mike Drennan.
Yeah, Drennan, I think he's got a huge opportunity here with the McClain news, with McClain sitting out right now, Jatai McClain. Because I think the plan originally was, all right, he wasn't really in the mix there at receiver. Let's move him to running back, just kind of get his feet wet this year, maybe throw him in every once in a while, and then next year he can maybe be a real piece for us. But now I think it's opened up an opportunity where he's probably getting legit real reps with the ones and twos in practice. So he's going to have a chance here to play, especially if that injury bug bites. Because some of the stuff they're going to do with some two-back sets and splitting out, I think he would have to be a big part of that, maybe as a guy they use in the slot or whatnot. So if something happened to Smoke, I think you could see him get some real game reps. So he's a guy, like, I I think we need to watch here in the first few weeks of the season to see if he's able to make any type of moves.
Yeah, and I'm curious how much he has picked up at that running back position because
yeah, he's got juice though. That's the thing. I like him with the ball in his hands. He can make plays happen. So it's just you got to give him some reps there. But it's sounding like he's a lot more comfortable there, and Settle really wanted him.
Yeah,
they're making sure we know that. Multiple people have talked about that already.
Yeah, and I was wondering too what the who are they going to go with if McClain's out week one, which that got moved to the grand jury. You know, the timetable's uncertain. They have 2 months where they could do it. I don't think they're going to wait that long. I could imagine it going to a grand jury next week. I mean, you don't take 5 months to build a case and then 2 more months to present it,
right.
So I think it would move rather swiftly, but it's probably safe to say that you're not going to have McClain week one. So now insert who's RB3. Lavelle Wright got a lot of hype in the spring. Liam Combs was really impressed with how he took up the offense. And also, you know, he's a pretty versatile guy as well too. I mean, when I think of Wright, I think of that play he had against Douglas where he caught a pass and then just broke like 17 tackles to get into field goal range. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who they would go with there first. And I think a lot of it just comes down to how much did Mike Drennan,
It's also, I think, committee, like, what do you need at that point of the game?
That's true.
Like, you need to pound the rock, churn out some first downs, probably Lavelle Wright. If you need more, if you don't need to pound the rock, if you're trying to split it out a little bit, playing space a little bit more, it'd be Mike Drennan. So a lot of that's kind of a feel thing. I think, obviously, Chris Rodriguez is the alpha, the dude, the guy they're going to ride. But after that, it could be very much a committee approach there at RB2. I mean, I think you could see, as of right now, those three guys, Lavelle Wright, Mike Drennan, and Kavassier Smoke, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a healthy rotation there when it comes to getting the next guy involved.
Definitely. And you kind of mentioned how the absence of McClain's an opportunity for the
other guys. It was pointing to where he was going to feel like he was going to be the guy for them in the offense. And then it was going to transition into him potentially next year being, RB1. But now that he's out for the time being, I think it's a big opportunity. And I'm just really excited. I just want to see Drennan because he's got he's got the juice. You throw on his high school tape.
He's got the credentials. Yeah.
He fits
that bill. Yeah.
Right.
But that goes back to the other person who got some valuable opportunities this preseason because of an injury was Trevin Wallace. He was getting a bulk. I mean, you called it last podcast that he's going to start. Now, I don't know if that will be the case now that Jaquez Jones is back in practice. If he's practicing, a week or two before, I would imagine they're going to give him the green light. But I would imagine that there's still going to be a pretty healthy rotation there, especially against Louisiana Monroe.
Platoon. I think we're going to see a platoon there at Mike linebacker. I think it could be, in hindsight, Nick, this could be a great thing. Because Jones probably, he's played a lot of football. I don't know how much he really needs all these practice reps.
Right. I mean, 3 full seasons.
For game, he really needs them just for game shape.
Mm-hmm.
I think, everything else he's kind of seen, especially at this scheme, I think it's something that he's familiar with. It was very similar to one he ran at Ole Miss when Mike McIntyre was there as the coordinator, Matt Luke's last season, I believe. But for Wallace, he just needs all, he's a little bit raw. He needs everything, all the reps he can get. And so this fall camp, he's gotten a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so we've heard the coaches talk about him being swimming a little bit, but also good, bad, but good, bad, which I think it's fair. And I think it's going to be good long term. And it's probably going to lower his learning curve through the season because he's already gotten all these, I think, high quality reps during fall camp.
Well, and I've been going through interviews we had with true freshmen at UK Football Media Day and listening back to Wallace's comments from a post yesterday, there was a lot of, he didn't necessarily say I don't want to play right away, but there was a part of it where he's like, it's a big transition and I don't want to get thrown in the fire right away. Having Jones back does allow you to play Wallace where he's comfortable. You know, you don't have to, you aren't putting a ton on his shoulders, but you're also letting him learn faster than normal. So I really like it. Like, it doesn't get really, it's not a more ideal situation. I mean, I can't even come up with
one. Yeah, absolutely.
He gets like all of these preseason practice reps. And then he doesn't have to be the guy day one. So it works out perfectly for him, especially a guy that, I mean, I didn't realize that until media day was that he had just, I mean, he moved to defense as a junior, but he mm-hmm. missed the whole season pretty
he
much.
He only played 4 games as a junior. Yeah.
Yeah. So like he has one season, one full season as a linebacker. And a lot of that season too, he was lined up as like an edge rusher. So this is, he needs those reps badly.
Yeah, we talked about it last podcast, but I think if everything hits this year, I think the storyline is just going to be the portal for this Kentucky football team, if everything hits, because offensively, obviously, there's the three big ones, and they all, it's not like they all happen at once. They all happen spaced out through the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Certain circumstances got them each guy. And then on defense, like having Jacquez Jones has been the ultimate Jamin Davis insurance, really.
Yeah,
I believe. Because it gives you as like a stopgap, pretty much. You know what you have in Jacquez Jones. He's not Jamin Davis, but he's a solid player. But it's going to allow you to kind of grow this young linebacker who you think can turn into, you know, an all-SEC star, another draft pick, a legit kind of – could be kind of a program-changing talent on defense. And it's allowing you to slowly bring him along, which, you know, I think it's great. I think hindsight, like these transfer portal additions, what it's going to maybe allow Kentucky to do could just be the story of the season.
Yeah, and we mentioned transfer portal. That was another big talking point at practice this week, was just folks marveling at Will Levis's arm strength and what he's done so far.
Reaching Paul Bunyan levels for sure.
But like pure arm strength, I mean, it's the best of the Stoops era. I don't think there's any question about that.
We've talked, and that's been the kind of the talking point ever since Levis was added. We've talked about that a lot here on the podcast. You throw on the tape, you see it, but even as soon as you saw the TikTok videos, you're just like, well, there hasn't been a guy that could do that here.
It was kind of fun.
And then you see it in practice too. I think it really kind of shows up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not just, it's not winding up everything you got into it and throw it 70 yards down the field.
Yeah.
The ball sounds different coming off his hand, and it gets on guys fat. Like,
yeah,
it gets very fast velocity in a snap. Like on those intermediate digs, like those 15 to 18 yard routes, that ball gets on top of those guys quick. And Isaiah Epps said yesterday, I believe, he said, if you don't, you better be on it, or it's going to hit you in the head. You know, you better be ready. And so that to me, and that kind of velocity that he can deliver, that just helps you as a quarterback if you have that kind of trait, because your windows are just bigger if you got arm talent like that.
Right.
Like for Bo Allen, he's going to have to be an anticipatory master. Like he's got to see things, you know, a step and a half ahead almost.
Levis can just
– Levis doesn't need – he can get the ball there faster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a bigger window. Now that's not everything, but that certainly doesn't hurt for sure.
No, doesn't hurt. At all. One thing that he does that's pretty fun after practice, I know we've seen him do the thing where we're going to hit the crossbar from 50 yards out or whatever it may be. That's, you know, all quarterbacks do that. Something I hadn't seen before. He was waiting for interviews and they were, you know, on the sideline by the goalpost. So I don't know, 20 yards out. And the quarterbacks were trying to hit the uprights, actually, from like they were trying to sideswipe the uprights. In Levis, I mean, I think I saw him hit 2 out of 3 or 3 mm-hmm. out of 5, you know, like in that, I was just like, oh, that's a fun little game. Like I hadn't seen that before.
And he's the best athlete of the bunch too, in that quarterback room.
We do forget about that too. Like he was their running option.
Like they're going to be able to run quarterback power on 3rd and 2 if they want to and get first downs.
Yeah. I liked, actually I didn't like it. It made me uncomfortable. The Levitard show was talking about Will Levis looking like a snack, like a thick Pat McAfee. And it was just like,
well, like that's the first thing I kind of noticed at media day was He's a little bigger than I thought he was.
Yeah. And
he's put together.
I'm curious how it'll look in pads, because Terry Wilson looked big in pads, but not necessarily with the shoulder pads off, you know? Like, I bet Levis, if he gets one of those quarterback jackets on, I bet he's going to look like a tree trunk out there. Love it.
Yeah, so I'm very interested to see just how they use him this year and just what it looks like, this passing. I think it's going to be kind of a breath of fresh air for a lot of people just to see some of the arm talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see how they – because a lot of times when Terry went deep, there were some throws that just were just wasn't even in the ballpark kind of thing.
No, no.
And then when Steven Johnson was hurt, it was the same thing, and it's just kind of been the issue for the offense. I think Levis, that really won't be an issue. It's just going to get be delivering with timing and accuracy and all that. And mm-hmm. if he's able to do that, and it sounds like that accuracy has been better than they expected, I believe. It's what it sounded like in camp. He can be, you know, he can be a really good starter. And the passing game's good for Kentucky. It could be trouble for a lot of teams on their schedule.
So we only have 8 days until we get to watch Kentucky football, but there's plenty of football on this weekend. Tonight, it's not college football, but we have the Kroger KSR game of the week going to Lexington Catholic. Unfortunately, we can't get Grant Bingham and Johnson Central. They had to back out. So instead, we've got PC, Pulaski County, who they've been near the top of 5A for quite some time. So that should be
where is Pulaski County, Nick?
Somerset.
Okay.
Yeah. Not
so them and the Briar Patchers are big.
Briar Jumpers. Rivalry. Yeah.
Briar Jumpers.
Not whatever. To take shot. I've actually never. I watched Thon Maker and DeAndre Ayton play against one another at Pulaski County High School. It was at one of those grind session games, and Sasha Kalia Jones mm-hmm. was there, and I was interviewing him for thing on KSR. So that's my one experience at PC. I've been to Somerset before. They've got a really cool new stadium. Never been to Southwestern. So
Pulaski County High School in Somerset, Kentucky. Enrollment 1,200 in the 2019 school year. I believe they're either the Maroons or the Pirates.
The Maroons.
Or the Maroons. Yeah. But their mascot's a Pirate.
They played in an – it was – I think they lost this playoff game. Forgive me if I'm mistaken in this. But I just remember the playoff game they played in last year, and it was an absolute mud bowl. It might have even been against Southwestern, but I specifically remember the Maroons playing in a crazy game where it was just one of those where every jersey – like, you could barely see the numbers. It was just completely covered in mud. People were falling all over the place. Good old school. It reminds me of that old CSAA Little League bucket whenever you just – it was just going to be a slot fest. And, you know, they'd throw you in the back of the pickup truck and take you home and wash you down with a hose. Like, it was one of those kind of games.
Reggie Hansen, a former Kentucky basketball player. Went to Pulaski County.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Reggie. There's also a game on television tonight. You can watch a future Wildcat, Andre Stewart, and
both those teams, Nick. Both of them teams got dudes on it.
Oh, so
like, there's like six or seven of those guys are going to play probably in the NFL if everything goes right in college. Like that's about as big a heavyweight matchup as you can get. It's North Cobb High School.
Yes.
And Milton High School. Both in Metro Atlanta, that's a big game. Like, I mean, in Metro Atlanta, there's probably like five or six schools that are just stacked, and these are two of them.
I remember
if you're not doing anything, I would turn that game on. That game's going to be fun.
7 p.m. ESPN2. I remember when Scalzo was doing the QB1 thing, they got shellacked by Milton, like taken to the woodshed, and they had a really good team. You know, they won their 5A, 6A state championship the year before. But, like, Milton, they've got some dogs, like you said. The two guys you watch for North Cobb, Andre Stewart's a cornerback. I'm sure he's playing some wide receiver for him as well. And then Josh Josephs is a linebacker that's visited Kentucky quite a bit. Now, you know, Kentucky might be in a good spot for that one.
The other cornerback for North Cobb, too, is a guy by the name of Marquise Groves Killebrew. He's currently committed to Georgia, but he is from Louisville. He's from Louisville, I'm pretty sure, and he moved when he was young. But Kentucky is still recruiting him. And they're still knocking on that door a little bit, and they might be able to get him for a visit this year. That's something I think they're working on. But that's a hell of a tandem, him and Andre Stewart at cornerback. Andre Stewart, I think, is being slept on by a lot of people. I think you're going to see some SEC schools try to get involved. I think Tennessee's trying to knock on the door right now.
He got invited to the opening, played out there. Pretty good
ball. He's a dude.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite players in the class right now. He's a dude. And so I would, that's a commitment I would love to see Kentucky hang on to. And then Joshua Joseph's, that edge player for North Cobb as well. Kentucky's got some ground to make up. Sounded like Tennessee might be the favorite there. I know Michigan's in the mix. So, yeah, I mean, that's a loaded matchup. And then on the other side, Lebeus Overton, who might be the best junior in high school football.
His mom went to Kentucky. Was Milton. Yeah, his mom is a volleyball player at UK. And
Kentucky just made his top 12. It's sounding like Clemson might be the favorite there right as of right now. Maybe
he's the number one player in 2023. He's
yeah.
He's no slouch.
For any of those top 10 players in Georgia or top 10 national players in Georgia, or especially in Atlanta, excuse me, 9 times out of 10, that's going to be a Georgia-Clemson recruiting battle because those are the kind of two schools that are running Metro Atlanta recruiting right now. So Overton, that's a big pipe dream
but
to get him.
If Kentucky plays well this year, beats Georgia, maybe, you know, mom's like, I miss Lexington, you know, the door is at least cracked.
So Kentucky's just stay on the list and see if you can get him on campus and just see what happens.
And maybe, you know, he's getting ready to sign with Georgia and then they fire their coaches 3 days before signing day, a la Auburn, Trevin Walls.
And I think, you know, I think it's right now in Atlanta, I'm pretty sure it's Amar Stewart and new assistant Chris Collins kind of tag teaming the whole city together.
Yeah, and that would be nice to be able to – I mean, even if you don't get the number one guys from Atlanta, the guys right behind them aren't too bad either.
Yeah, but just keep an eye on that – like, remember that name, Gross Killebrew. That could be a big kind of late target for Kentucky that kind of comes out of nowhere. We'll see maybe if Georgia – who else they get in that secondary. But just keep an eye on him.
Well, it won't come out of nowhere for 11 personnel listeners, I'll tell you that. And
man, what we're here for.
What we're really here for is to talk about week zero. College football is officially back. And to get in on winning season, you got to get in the action at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the best place to get a little coin, get a little cheddar in while you're watching these week zero college football games. First time players can get started by doubling your first deposit. Gives you more power to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boost, NFL lock of the season, and over 500,000 in contest prizes are live on site to make this winning season your best ever with MyBookie. We got a historic 18-week schedule, more action than ever before, and week zero is here. You won't find a better place than MyBookie. Do the smart thing, sign up with MyBookie, and use our promo code PERSONNEL to get your first deposit match dollar for dollar. That means $50 is turning to $100 if you use the code PERSONNEL, PERSONNEL. Make that first deposit. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. See, like it for folks.
We got some picks. Yeah, we got some picks right now to get in there.
It's perfect. Let's get some picks.
Let's get some money.
Like it. I'm not going to ask you for your lock of the week, but we do need to start with Big Noon Saturday. It's the only significant, it's only Power Five matchup, and it's what everybody wants in their opening week. Who needs Miami versus Florida when you can have Nebraska at Illinois?
It's going to be around 90 degrees at Memorial Stadium, Champaign. We're going to get sweaty Brett Bielema taking on Scott Frost. Right now, the Huskers are laying a touchdown, 7 points on the road. Per Caesar Sportsbook, that totals 54.5. If you wanted a money line, Nick, you could get Illinois at +220. So pretty good odds if you think Illinois is going to win there. But when I look at this game, like, Bielema is the coach over there for a reason. Like, their roster in Illinois is in pretty rough shape. I know they returned a lot of super seniors and all that, but
Nebraska's super seniors in college football.
Nebraska's got the better quarterback. If you rank the top 10 players in this game, I think Nebraska could have 8 or 9 of them. You add that in with, like, it's a huge game. Plus, Illinois kind of embarrassed Nebraska last year.
Yeah.
I like Nebraska here laying the 7. Like, if Nebraska has to win this game to even have a shot at a good season, I think they're headed towards a 5-7 type year, but I think they're going to be ready for this one. Well, and I think Nebraska is going to handle this one by double digits.
The Scott Frost seat is kind of – it's pretty toasty.
It's more than lukewarm for sure.
And when you lose to Illinois, like, I didn't even know that happened last year. You can't hide that loss this year because it's opening week. Everybody is going to be watching this game. you can't have a letdown here. And I know, you know, they don't have Wandell Robinson anymore. They lost their best athlete, but it doesn't matter. You can't lose to Brett Bielema in opening week. If you're wondering why this is a week zero game, it was supposed to originally be in Dublin until COVID happened. I'm not good at totals like it. I admittedly am not, but it's a really thin slate. So I think I've just got to play the under here because, I mean, they scored a bunch.
Big Ten West principle.
Yeah, you know, and it's week zero. You expect a bunch of turnovers. It's going to be sloppy. So I think I saw it 55.5 somewhere. That's what, a 28-21 game, and you're so good? Or no?
Yeah.
You're hitting the over there, I think. But
28-21 would be 49.
Yeah, boom, in good hands. So, I can't see that game hitting that over. I just can't. And that's a pretty decent sized number for a Big Ten West game. You know, this isn't a Northwestern Illinois game with a 30-point one.
That total's calling for a 30, right around a 31-24 win for Nebraska. Yeah, I mean, that seems high. Nebraska's defense was actually graded out pretty well last year. They returned a bunch of starters. Illinois, with me, they just don't have any talent on the roster is kind of the thing. Like, they've got the most super seniors returning.
But that doesn't mean that they're good.
What does that mean if they're, you know, they're not very good? Give me Nebraska there. Lay the 7 with Scott Frost. That's my number one play of the week. And if you're looking to chase later.
Your number one play of the week. Okay.
Yeah. If you're looking to chase later, New Mexico State's awful.
They didn't UTEP, play football last year.
UTEP is doing the coach at UTEP is doing a decent job. I think they won 3 games last year. Like, they're not great, but New Mexico State is awful, awful. I would lay UTEP -10 in that rivalry game. Like, New Mexico State is bad, bad. Like, Tarleton State beat them by 30 in the spring.
They did have
I would roll with the UTEP Miners.
Isn't Tarleton State, didn't they just start playing football as well?
Yeah, they just came up from D2 or something. And then they played Dixie State and I think squeaked out a win.
Oh, man. The only problem with betting that game is I don't know if you can find it on television. It's on
Fox game Sports. Is not on TV. Yeah.
It's on Fox Sports Arizona and you know,
Flow. You'd be Sports. On the Gamecast.
Good luck finding that one. I actually think the UCLA game could potentially be fun, but I am, as much as I think UCLA could have this breakout year, Chip Kelly, I don't know how much he gives a damn. He's 1-5 against the spread in non-conference games as a head coach. That line too, when it opens at 11 and jumps to 17.5, I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's go.
What's going on?
I'm with Fade the Public. Take the Rainbow Warriors +17.5. I'll be rocking my Hawaii hat. You best believe that. Like it.
And UCLA has LSU at home next week.
Is it next week or the following?
It's next week. It's next Saturday at night.
Okay.
It's that game starts at 8:30. LSU or not? Excuse me. Clemson, Georgia is at 7:30. So you'll watch the Clemson, Georgia game. Then you're going to get the fourth quarter of LSU. LSU, UCLA. They're on Fox. But like UCLA, I think UCLA is probably going to get out to an early lead there, start fast, but he's going to take the foot off the gas, I would imagine, pretty early there in the second half and keep everything pretty close to the vest.
Yeah.
So that could be a game, Nick. Like, if you like UCLA early, it might be best to play them first quarter or first half.
Mm-hmm. And then,
because I think there's going to be big time backdoor potential with Hawaii.
Oh, man, that's going to be great. I'm going to be watching that at a bar, just cheering for the Hawaii to pull off the coast. Todd Graham, former Arizona State coach out there. This ain't your grandfather's Hawaii, though. That's, you know.
Yeah, it's not Timmy Chang Hawaii for sure.
Yeah, Colt Brennan ain't throwing
five touchdowns.
Peace. Yeah, RIP.
Nick, I got an idea for our podcast this year.
Okay.
We talk about what happened in college football the week before, kind of preview Kentucky's game, talk about Kentucky's game, and then talk like keys to win. And then sometimes we spend the last 5 minutes talking about the spread. Sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking instead of this, because we give out picks in other mediums.
Yeah.
Both of us. So I was thinking this year what we'll do would we do something a little different. Like, we will pick each week, one of us will pick our money line pick of the week.
Oh,
So, but now there's going to be stipulation. Like, it has to be at least a 7-point dog.
Okay.
So an upset, and then I will tally it throughout the season, and so
just
for a $20 bet, I will tabulate, and we'll do it throughout the year, and we'll see if we've lost money or made money off.
Okay.
That.
Okay.
Because everybody looks, because I get asked all the time, who's an underdog you like to win? Who's this and that? Who's like a money line? Because I think that's a popular bet people like to do. Just pick an underdog to win.
Sprinkle $5 on it or something.
And so maybe we can come up with a catchy name for that. But at the end of every podcast, let's do that. So find your top money line dog, 7 points or more. Because then you're getting at least plus 200, 220 odds there. And then we'll see what we can. If we can win the people some money doing that.
That's going to be almost impossible to find this week unless you're just going to ride it.
Yeah, we won't do it this week. We'll start next week.
But we'll start next week. And, next week's Slayer games. Thursday, you've got Friday night, Saturday.
My favorite weekend of the year.
I think they've got college Sunday football and on Monday five nights too, in a row. Right? Yeah.
You get Florida State, Notre Dame Sunday, Louisville, Ole Miss Monday. And Louisville, Ole Miss total is up there around 77.
Dude, I got – Ole Miss at only -7.5, and I wish I would have bet more.
It's jumped up there. I think it's up towards 9 right now.
I saw 9.5 when I checked this week.
Yeah, let me see what Caesars has it at right now.
Yeah, Vegas Insider, the consensus has it at 9.5. Circus Sports is at 10. So
Caesars has 9, and Ole Miss land 9.5.
Yeah, and that'll probably get to 10, right? Mm-hmm. Probably.
I would imagine so, especially – there's going to be a lot of late action on that game.
That Monday, just chasing. Yeah. Come on, Mac.
The Monday Night Football effect. You know, five days a game. Like, you get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days of gambling leading into that. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of late action on that game.
So, one game I want to mention, and it'll help segue us, because UConn is another team that is playing in their – they're coming back after a year off, just like New Mexico State.
And Old Dominion the same way.
This is their first game as an independent. They were in the AAC in 2019. They were supposed to be independent last year, but this is their first game as an independent, playing the Fresno State Bulldogs. And a lot of the computers actually have UConn as a cover here. It's at 27.5. I saw Fornelli picking them as like his dog of the week. But I was doing some research as we pick our G5 team of the week. That's another thing. We need help branding this. We need help with our money line locks and also our G5. I don't know exactly what we call it, but we've got to pick our G5 team. Fresno State does have a great quarterback in Ryan Hare, transferred from Washington, was fourth in the nation in passing yards per game last year. They put up some points. They're a fun brand of football. And unfortunately, we're not cheering for them this weekend. They can get the hell out of here.
No, Fresno. Sorry, Kalen DeBoer. Sorry, Bulldogs. They had a lot of after dark opportunities for us, but maybe not this year. Maybe if they have a good G season, they could be in the running next year. But Fresno State is out of the list.
Our team. Luck it. Maybe we'll be on a Maxson team this year. Maybe. I know you're a big fan of the Factory.
I love me some Factory. I love me some Chris Creighton.
And I'm not gonna lie.
I know a lot of people hate Eastern Michigan around these parts.
Yeah,
but I love me some Eastern Michigan.
I love me some Eastern Michigan too. But the thing is, we are a podcast of the people. Some people still hold a grudge for the Terry Wilson injury. We do not. Football happens. But you know what? We are going to listen to the people, and we are not hopping on the Factory's bandwagon this year. Eastern Michigan, get the hell out of here. And then there were two.
Across the state.
Yeah.
Western Michigan and Kalamazoo.
Is it going to be Western Michigan, the Broncos, who have a great quarterback, or is it going to be Carson Strong and the Nevada Wolfpack? Adam Luckett, who will be 11 Personnel's G5 team of the year?
Sorry, Caleb Ellaby. Sorry, Tim Lester. Sorry, Western Michigan Broncos. The How Mummy Air Raid was just too tough to turn down. Oh. Two top 50 NFL draft prospects, Jay Norvell's Nevada Wolfpack, is 11 Personnel's G5 something something team of the year. We're still working on the branding, but Nevada, they were currently too good. You got 20 starters back off a 7-2 team. They are a legit threat in the Mountain West. Currently have 7 after dark games scheduled. Just had to do it, Nick. It just had to be Nevada. Now we got to find some Nevada gear.
Yeah, I notice our friends at home field, they don't have any, but we will find some. The only thing I don't like about Nevada, they do have a very mid-2000s look about them.
Yes.
You know, where you're like, we're going to try to be all cool. And it's like, no, that's not, just a little too mid-2000s-y. But I do like the blue and the gray. So we're going to be rocking some, it's more like blue and silver. It's much sharper than that because they're in the biggest little city in America, Reno, Nevada. So hell yeah, Reno. We are all about you. Maybe we have to take a trip out to Reno. Not during football season, but like, you know, I hear Reno's nice this time of year.
How far is Reno from Vegas?
No idea. I have no clue. It's one of those things too, when you think about what out cities out west, they are much farther away than you anticipate. You're like, oh yeah, you know, yeah. It's not that far. No, it's very far. But here's the thing, Luckett. We could be hopping on the bandwagon at the perfect time. I know in the Mountain West, you obviously have Boise and
oh wow. It's a 7-hour drive. It's literally on the other side of Nevada. It's like next to Sacramento.
Oh, okay. Northern California, Northern Nevada. Yeah. And wait, we have to also agree. Are we Nevada or Nevada?
It's Nevada.
Nevada. Okay. Yeah. We'll say it how the locals say it, but we are officially on the Nevada bandwagon. I think if you look up their odds to win the conference, they're like fourth. So they're right there. They're and it's like, we're not picking favorites either. You know, San Jose State won it last year. They were a great story. I mentioned Boise earlier, but we're hopping on the Wolfpack at the perfect time. We're going to be howling all season long, and I'm stoked. I'm glad that we have another team to pledge our allegiance to, Adam Luckett.
Yeah, Nevada's in the opposite division of Boise State, so they could win. We could have a conference championship game there that first weekend in December.
Oh man, we're just going to have to. I think they play that game on a Friday too, if I'm not mistaken. So we can watch that the night before Kentucky plays Alabama in the SEC championship game. So it works out perfectly. Works out perfectly. Things are looking up for 11 personnel.
We just keep rising. You can't deny us. We just keep coming.
Oh, man. Well, I hope you all enjoyed this special edition, this week zero edition of 11 personnel.
Before we get out of here, Nick.
Okay.
I just had a couple notes here. Emory Jones had a very bad camp in Florida.
Not like good.
There were some, he threw, I believe, three interceptions in one of their scrimmage. It got to a point where Anthony Richardson, their backup, was getting a lot of reps with the ones. Their quarterback's coach went out and said he is QB1, but there's a lot of scuttlebutt there that there could be kind of a QB controversy brewing. Keep an eye on that early.
It would be very Kentucky football if Jones sucks for a half against the Cats and then gets benched. You know,
Anthony Richardson's got some strong Nick Fitzgerald vibes. Like, there's some questions about him as a passer, but as a runner, he could be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of fits what Mullen wants to do. So just keep an eye on that. We've talked about South Carolina. They've got all kinds of issues. Like, Luke Doty might not be – like, Kentucky game could potentially be his first game back.
Yeah.
Kevin Harris is back at practice, but he's wearing a non-contact jersey. He's still not taking hits. They brought a GA off the bench to be their quarterback.
Oh, God. Still so funny. It's also hilarious when you read all the other quarterbacks. Doty moved from wide receiver to quarterback. They had DeCarrion Joyner, receiver, quarterback. Like, they don't have anybody that
– it's some Joker Phillips stuff going on
over there. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's stuff that you hear about in high schools, not SEC football programs.
Mm-hmm. And then Ryan Helinski got beat out at Northwestern. He's not their starting quarterback. Tennessee and Vanderbilt, they don't know who their quarterbacks are going to be a week out. Sounded like at Vanderbilt, Ken Seals might not win that job. It might be Mike Wright, the dual threat guy. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then Missouri's banged up. Like Mookie Cooper, who was supposed to be kind of their version of Wando Robinson, in-state guy, transferred from Ohio State. He's going to be like their top slot guy. He got hurt, and he missed most of fall camp, and Kentucky plays them week two. So we get keep an eye on that. That would be a big loss for them. So just a little, just some stuff
from around training camps.
Yeah. That's going on. So just keep all that in mind. But the Emory Jones, I think, is the big one. Like, that's going to be one to watch. Like, a lot of Florida people are just trying to like ignore it kind of thing.
Everything's fine.
If you do any digging, like there's some Georgia people on Twitter that are comparing him to Jeremy Johnson. Do you remember him, the Auburn quarterback in 2015?
Oh yeah. That was
where
he was
gut Gus claimed all offseason, like, he's the guy. He's going to be a dude for us. Auburn was picked to win. That's when Gus was hotter than fire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were picked. That was the first team. That was like the last team to get picked to win the conference that wasn't Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out and he, like, Jeremy Johnson was bad. And that, like, there's Georgia fans comparing him to Jeremy Johnson on Twitter. It's just something, just keep that in mind. It's something to watch for Kentucky for sure as we get into the season.
We'll be watching, and we're going to have a ton coming up game week. KSR Football Podcast on Monday. There's a new podcast with Max Duffy and Miles Butler, Pin It Deep. That will be out next week. We'll be back with you Tuesday. There's free money. There's also depth. We have enough football to keep you occupied over at Kentucky Sports Radio.
You could. There's going to be enough podcast content that you could get a football podcast a day.
Yeah,
exactly. Throughout the football season.
So it's going to be it's
or every, you can just save them for Saturday and binge them, play them while you're at your tailgate. Either or.
Yeah, either or. But we're happy for you all following along. We appreciate support from LaRosa's and MyBookie. Just remember, when you deposit with MyBookie, to use that code PERSONNEL to get double your money back. And we'll be back before you know it. I mean, it's literally, we're turning this off. We're hitting the grind some with some blogs, and we're going to be back podcasting game week. I can smell it like it. Football's here.
I'm glad to have Bielema back. I'm ready for the memes.
Oh man,
I'm ready for the funny clips. I'm glad to have him back.
We're gonna have some funny Burt face.
I want a little scuffle, and I want to see him yelling at Frost from across the sideline. I'm ready for it.
Man, absolutely cannot wait. Enjoy the football this weekend, folks, and remember, go Cats and go Kroger.